Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. I have to apologize again for Friday, and actually this week I'll just give everybody a heads up. Maybe I'll get something out on Thursday, and maybe I'll get something out on Friday, but given the familial obligations I'm going to have on Thursday, so being in America, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, which is a national holiday. It's a secular holiday, but it's one that most people culturally participate in, and my family is among them. I know a lot of you are American, so to say all of this seems kind of silly to say it, but I do have a decent number of European listeners whose names whose eyes are not watching the calendar, so they're not aware of what's coming up, what's special about this week over here, etc. So I want to give everybody a heads up. With the familial obligations I have on Thursday and this upcoming Friday, we don't do the Black Friday thing in my family at all. I put a kibosh on that very early on. But nevertheless, we do have family obligations that take up both of those days. So I may get a chance to record, I may not. I wanted to give everybody a heads up for that now. The obligation that keeps me from recording, or has kept me from recording on Fridays over the past couple of months, has now come to a close. I won't have that pressure on me anymore. So I'll be running on a more regular schedule at work and with everything else that's going on in my life, which is going to make things a little bit easier to record on Fridays. That means fewer of those missed days, but I just wanted to let everybody know exactly what's going on so that you've got a sense of what to expect and why things have been the way they've been. For today, I have a prayer request in the inbox that I'm going to get to tomorrow. I just want to give a heads up to the person that wrote in. I've got a couple of things sitting there in the inbox, but to the person that wrote in the longer email, I just saw your email this morning. I'm going to go through the whole thing, and just so that I've got a good understanding of what to pray for and who to pray to. So I'm going to wait until tomorrow to do that. In the meantime, I've still got some backup from the prayer chat. We've got a prayer for WR, who's under doxing threat. He's who we're going to pray for today. And I do not see any new names in the Requiem basket, so to speak. So I don't have any new names there for our extra Requiem, but we still have a week left in that. And that's, even though Thursday and Friday are going to be gone, Monday and Tuesday of the following will still be November. So by all means, continue to send them in. Continue to send names in so we can pray for them. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for people that you know that have passed into the great beyond, who may be in purgatory. Everybody could use the prayers. So by all means, send in names. For now, if you want to send in names... I was about to turn to the prayer already. If you want to send in names and prayers, the place to send that would be Daily Decad Requests at protonmail.com. That's Decad, DECADE, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. You can also drop a line over at praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com, where we're syndicated at exodusamericanus.com. You can find me on the Fediverse, Mario Goretti, at nobodyhasthe.biz, and you can find me on Gab at the Daily Decad, and of course on Telegram if you want to follow all of our updates, everything that we put out there. Telegram's the place to do it. That's what I update the most often, and that's who I've got. I've got eyes on that particular page from multiple directions. So that's how you get in touch if you have prayers to submit, and I do encourage you to do so. For now, I want to turn our hearts and minds to God, get our rosaries out, and pray for our friend WR, who is struggling with a doxing threat that could upset his current employment and his family life, something I don't want to see happen. Today is a Monday, so we will pray in Latin. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum. Fia voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, Ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, Vita Dulcedo et Spes Nostre, salve. A te clamamus, exulis filia Evi, a te suspiramus, gementes et plentes, in hac lacrimarum, vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuas misericordias oculos ad nos converte, et Iesum viatam fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o pia, o dulce Virgo Maria, ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur promissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Michael and Saint Raphael, Saint Gabriel, archangels all, we humbly beg thy intercession on behalf of the servant of God, W.R., that his safety and that of his family and their security and privacy be guarded against those wicked actors, servants of the devil himself, who seek to upset and disrupt and destroy through the publicization of his name and his identity and his history, and make by calumny and detraction his cross heavier than it need be. We ask that you draw a veil around him by thy intercession before the throne of God, and that he be protected as so many peoples and cities have been protected against the assaults of the enemy. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is God, and livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us as we suffer attacks, once again St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, adveniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. This past Sunday was the last Sunday before Advent, which is also the Sunday of the Last Judgment. It was a long gospel for those of you who went to the... for those of you who went to Mass yesterday. Hopefully all of you did. I don't know. I know I have a decent chunk of Protestant listeners, and I don't know what came from the pulpit yesterday because I don't know the schedules. But in the Catholic Church, it's the Sunday of the Last Judgment, and there was a lot of mention of what comes at the end times. And it was a couple of excellent sermons on the end times, on our relationship to them. My particular priest gave a pretty good takedown of rapture doctrine, which I quite enjoyed, I have to admit. Whatever the case may be, there was a lot of talk of it. And so it was on my mind a lot yesterday. And something occurred to me as I was thinking about it, and I thought, this is something I ought to share with everyone who listens to the Decad, because it's something that might actually benefit you in your day-to-day. The temptation is out there to think of the end times constantly, and particularly to imagine that we are living in them right now. A lot of Orthodox believers and monks who I've read and people who I've spoken to are very much of the opinion that we have always been living in the end times, and that we should think of every age of man from the ascension of Christ as being part of the end times. And in a way, they're very right. That is, that's precisely the healthy way to look at it. But the thing that struck me was how few devotions and sacramentals we have dedicated to the end times. Someone had pointed out to me recently that the lunar eclipse that took place, I think it was Friday or Saturday, was the longest lunar eclipse over the Earth since the middle of the 14th century. Now, the 14th century was a time of tremendous chaos in Europe. You had a pope in Avignon, and then after that you had two popes, one in Rome and one in Avignon. You had several major rebellions throughout Europe. You had the usurpation of Edward II in England in particular. And you had the Black Death, which came down upon Europe towards the end of the, would have been in the third quarter of that century. And in addition to having the Black Death in the beginning, in the first quarter of that century, you had the end of the Knights Templar. And you had more or less the end of the Crusades. It was all over with now. All of that was done. So it was a time of tremendous change, tremendous shifting away, tremendous pressures, new ideas coming up, and then total chaos, a challenge that no one really knew how to deal with, the Black Death, and that really rocked the church to its core because of A, how many priests were killed, and B, how little the church could actually do because it was still so divided and wouldn't be united again until the beginning of the 15th century, when was the Council of Constance? 1415, I think? 1412. It might have been 1412, now that I'm thinking about it. But in any case, that's the election of Martin V. And that's the end of this thing that's called the Great Western Schism. So the last time we had this eclipse was during that time. I thought that was very telling. And even from that time, you have a lot of spirituality that comes out of that time. You have Spiritual Combat by Lorenzo Scopoli, or Scopoli, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. You have The Imitation of Christ, it's Thomas A. Kempis. But you don't have any devotions or any scapulars or any rosaries or chaplets or anything like that dedicated to the end of the world or to the end times. Oh, sure, there are plenty that are dedicated to surviving hellfire or to avoiding hellfire. I should say it's the only way you can survive it is avoid it. There's plenty dedicated to that. And you have the Sacred Heart of Jesus that comes down the road later on that explicitly promises to be spared from hellfire. So you have those sorts of things, but nothing dedicated really to the end of the world, to preparation for the end times. Everything that we pray, all of our devotions, all of our sacramentals, all of our chaplets are focused very much on where we are right now, what we're doing, how we're performing our Christian duties, and how to improve ourselves as Christian. I think part of that is what Christ said, that God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead, and we must live actively the Catholic, or at least the Christian life that's been outlined for us. Now, those of us who are in the know, so to speak, we have Holy Mother Church. But regardless of how you feel about that particular assertion, you can, I think, at least agree that it is our Christian duty to act and live in a way consistent with Christian faith, Christian expectations, morality, with the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Even those who believe in faith alone as a justification wouldn't say that all you have to do is simply believe and then you can do what you wilt, do what thou wilt. I mean, I suppose there are some people out there, but hopefully, if they are listening to this broadcast, they'll change their minds. But Christian life, Christian living, Christian action, these are the expectations set for us by the faith, and these actions revolve around the evils and the good, the evils that we confront and the good that we do now. They're not focused on the end of days. And cowering in the corner, waiting for the fire to come from the sky, is not a Christian action. It's not something that's recommended in Scripture. It's not something that's taught by the Holy Church. And yet, how many people spend all of their spiritual energy and all of their time focused on all of these doomsday prophecies? We had a conversation with a friend of mine about Marie-Jules Jehani. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. My French is terrible. I learned German in high school. But whatever the case may be, her a great Catholic monarch and all of that, the 3 days of darkness and all of that, everybody loves that stuff. They just eat it up. Fire from the sky at the apparition of Akita. The living will envy the dead. Oh, it's just so deliciously terrifying. People just lap it up like ice cream. And it doesn't do us any good. And that's evidenced by the fact that the church doesn't have any devotions, any special masses, any confraternities, any bodies. And I'm talking about the church before the Second Vatican Council. I mean, afterwards, of course, there's all these people running around saying that hell exists but no one's in it, you know, or that sort of thing. There's plenty of errors floating around now about the Last Judgment. But even when people had a good sense of it, there was none of this. You had the Rosary, Holy Name Society. You had various confraternities, Confraternity of the Cord, things like that. All of these were dedicated to Christian living here and now. They weren't dedicated to the end of days, all the specific preparations that you have to make so that when Jesus shines forth in the sky, the laser beam will catch you, the tractor beam will catch you. Nothing like that. And I think that that's a very important thing for us to contemplate, Because the ancient church didn't have that either. For those of you who are interested in what the early church believed, their focus too was on what was going on around them. St. John Chrysostom has so many things to say about beggars and about the poor, one almost thinks that his primary function was getting people to perform charitable acts. May have been. I'm sure he had a lot of wealthy people in his congregation, a lot of nominal Christians. But whatever the case may be, you look at him and his concern is indeed here and now. Now, of course, it's a spiritual concern. It's not making the world a better place or bringing about this utopia on earth or anything like that. The traditional Christian understanding of how we're supposed to behave is to be contemplative, to be prayerful, and yes, to manifest that in our actions and our charity, but charity primarily directed at the love of God, not the love of our fellow man. That's what all of our devotions are focused on. That's what our Christian life is focused on. And yet, when things get rough, so many people devote all of their energy to concern about the end of days. Do you know how you manifest concern about the end of days? I mean real concern about the end of days and how to prepare for them. You keep on living as you lived. Through prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Now, of course, if you're living an evil life, obviously repent and change and reform. Don't keep living that way. But you keep on behaving as though it's not the end of days and you're just trying to be a good Christian. And that will allow you to store up the oil that you need when the bridegroom comes. To live as a Christian with your eye constantly on your personal end, your death, and the four last things. That is all you need to prepare for the end of days. And the devotions of the church, the history of the church, teach us that. And so my prayer, as we head into Advent, and we will start contemplating in earnest the end of time, because that's what Advent really is about, is that we will not get so caught up in it that we shall lose sight of the time that we are now living, our time. And that we will not get so caught up in the end of days that we will forget our daily needs, spiritual needs, and that we will forget to ask for our daily bread. And that all of our prayers and all of our preparations as we come into Advent will be directed towards living the life that we were called to lead by that little child brought forth in Bethlehem, so that when he comes back in his glory, he will not find us standing there staring at the sky, but will catch us at the mill grinding flour for the kingdom, or in the fields reaping the fruit of his Father's vineyard, that we might take those things and present them before him, and he might see that we are good and faithful and busy servants of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.